Hour number three. Kapow. Smartly said, poor Earth. That's for Earth over in the bradblog.com chat room. Hour number three of your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, occupying your airwaves tonight, although we're going to be handing those off shortly to our friends over at radioornot.com, who are tonight kicking off their 24-hour Occuthon. Occupying the airwaves, at least the internet airwaves, all night long, I think until 7 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday. We'll find out for sure shortly when we speak with Jacob Dean. We're actually going to have a simulcast with the Occuthon coming up here momentarily. Jacob Dean, of course, of both Filter Free Radio and the producer for Tom Hartman. So we're going to be joining his show in progress. He'll be joining ours if technically we can pull everything off. We'll find out here shortly. But before we before we go to a break to come back and reoccupy along with him, a couple of items here real quick. And I know a lot of people, by the way, are trying to get in on the phones. And I'm going to try to get to your calls at the bottom of this hour if you want to get in line. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog or join the chat room, as I say, at bradblog.com. I do want to get to those calls, but, you know, they don't let me on the air that often. So when they let me on the air, boy, I got lots of stuff to cover. And one of those things I need to cover is this recall petition against Scott Walker up there in Wisconsin. Previously, at both the blog and here on the show, I've reported on the efforts that were underway by opponents of the recall effort, in other words, supporters of Scott Walker, to sabotage the effort. They were openly discussing burning and tearing up petitions. Petition gatherers were receiving death threats in the middle of the night. And now we have at least the first arrest of this one idiot in Wisconsin, a guy by the name of Jeffrey Karnitz, who was charged now with two counts of election fraud for defacing petitions. He actually grabbed some petitions out of someone's hand and scratched them out, tried to destroy them, and then went on to brag about it on his Twitter and his Facebook page. And this jackass is, well, he's exactly that. Go stop by bradblog.com. See, check out a picture of this guy and his new little pet handgun. Idiot. At the same time, we've got Rush Limbaugh going on the air and lying about what's going on in this recall petition drive because, in fact, the supporters of the recall petition drive have got, they're almost there. They're almost there to the 540,000 signatures they needed in 60 days. They now have said they have 500,000 signatures in just 30 days. So it looks like they're going to make it. It looks like Scott Walker is going to be up for recall, the Republican governor up there, the anti-union, anti-citizen, anti-rights governor up there in Wisconsin. Looks like he's going to be up for a recall next year. And those 500,000, by the way, that have been turned in or that have been gathered, let's see, they've collected over 507,000 signatures in 30 days, and that is after they have weeded out what they believe to be fraudulent signatures or duplicates or anything else. So things are looking good up there in Wisconsin. Therefore, the right wing, like Rush Limbaugh, needs to lie about it, and he needs to lie about it damn quick. And that's exactly what both Fox News and Rush Limbaugh did earlier this week. Here's a little bit of Rush Limbaugh lying over your public airwaves, some 700 or so affiliates around the country, our public airwaves owned by we the people. Here is just at least some, as much as I can stand, of the lies that Rush Limbaugh was telling over those airwaves this week.
In Wisconsin, you know, there's a recall effort of the governor, Scott Walker. And this is from the ABC affiliate in Wisconsin. The signatures of Mickey Mouse, and Adolf Hitler will be counted on recall petitions targeting Governor Scott Walker as long as they're properly dated and include a Wisconsin address. The board charged with reviewing the petitions was told Tuesday. Now, I wonder what the political makeup of this board might be. In a recall effort, a petition...
Hang on, stop that. I wonder what the political makeup of it would be, Rush. You needn't wonder. You can look and you can find out. The Government Accountability Board was the one who gave the pass, to thousands of ripped and torn ballot bags, paper ballots that came in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election earlier this year. Do you remember that one, Rush? They're the ones who said, sure, go ahead and count those. We can't. The Government Accountability Board is the one that told me directly, personally, that they had no idea in that Wisconsin Supreme Court recount that took place between Joanne Kloppenburg and David Prosser. That was the board that told me directly that they had no way to know for certain that the ballots being counted in the recount were the ballots that were actually cast on Election Day. They're the ones who allowed the counting of thousands of ballots. You can go, again, go to Bradblog. The evidence is there. Don't believe me. I always tell you, don't believe me. Make me prove it. Well, go on over to Bradblog, look up Wisconsin recall, and look at the ballot bags that were ripped open, wide open, that were counted in that recount. The Government Accountability Board allowed those to pass. All right. So that's the political makeup of that board, Rush Limbaugh, as he claims that Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler are signing petitions up there in Wisconsin. Go ahead, play some more.
In a recall effort, a petition signed by Adolf Hitler will be valid. A signature of Mickey Mouse will be valid. And this is being allowed. The name of this board is the Government Accountability Board. And all they're doing here is passing the buck. These signatures will be accepted unless they are challenged, which is very handy, of course, since it means all the unions and other Democrats have to do is flood the system with so many phony signatures that there's neither the time nor manpower to challenge them all. They can't get legitimate signatures, so they're going to be allowed to submit signatures of people who are dead or are cartoon characters as legitimate signatories to a recall petition. And look, this article ends with an ironic line.
Yeah, never mind.
The Government Accountability Board.
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
The Government Accountability Board has encouraged anyone who witnesses fraud or other problems related to circulating petitions to contact the board, which is working together with the State Department of Justice to refer cases to district attorneys for possible prosecution. Well, why bother with any of that? If you're going to allow Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler to sign the petitions, why do you care where there is fraud elsewhere?
Okay, so there's nothing ironic about that line at all. And in fact, if you were amongst those who were received death threats by telephone because you were out there supporting this petition drive to get Scott Walker on the ballot, if you witnessed... as we did, as we saw on the Facebook page, these guys who were talking, bragging about burning and shredding recall petitions, then yes, report them to the Government Accountability Board. Just like this fellow Jeffrey Carnitz, who was caught in the act doing exactly that, defacing petitions. Thankfully, someone got his got the license on his car as he was driving down Highway 33. After destroying in West Bend on Sunday when he was destroying petitions. Now, the real story about Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler was told at Talking Points Memo this week. Ryan Riley writes, Fox News reporter Eric Shawn told viewers on Thursday that signatures from Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler were allegedly on petitions in Wisconsin in the recall for Governor Scott Walker. Fun little story with the potential to go viral. Absolutely. True? Not so much. In fact, the original story that Sean evidently built his report off of is about a strictly hypothetical situation discussed by the members of the Wisconsin Government Accountability Board. Oh, Rush forgot to mention that. He didn't say it was a strictly hypothetical discussion, did he? So it was discussed by the Wisconsin GAB, the Government Accountability Board. They were asked what would happen if someone signed the petition as Mickey Mouse. There's been no actual allegation that anyone actually signed the petition against Walker that way. So, to be fair to Fox News' Eric Schahn, the original story about the hypothetical signatures was fairly unclear. It claims the signatures of Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler, quote, will be counted on recall petitions, as if such signatures had already been or were guaranteed to be collected, instead of a theoretical possibility. In fact, Government Accountability Board member David Berger said that suspicious signatures would be flagged and that parties would be able to challenge the signatures. The local newspaper report notes that Hitler's name was struck from a previous recall petition immediately because the address was given in Germany. Petitioners who wish to take down Walker have until January 17th to get 540,000 petitions. Somewhat ironically, by the way, the Republicans are actually now challenging the 10-day period, they've filed a suit because Scott Walker will have 10 days to challenge any of those signatures. So they've gone to court to try to get the courts on their side, alleging signature fraud. Well, that's what paid Republicans actually did earlier this year. Were found to have submitted thousands of fraudulent signatures in the recall efforts against Democratic state senators in the state of Wisconsin. Do they ever stop lying? Answer, apparently, is no, they don't. Voter fraud by Democrats? Well, it ain't happening, apparently, in the Scott Walker race. Jacob Dean and Acuthon, straight ahead. Stay with us.
We still pray. We're looking for the chance to be free.
That's for me, yeah. How many roads must a man walk down before he's called a man?
All right. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker. Coast to coast and around the globe, of course, right here on the Mike Malloy Show. And if we did this right, technically, I believe that we are now also simulcasting on our friend Nicole Sandler's Radio or Not Network, where they are holding a 24-hour Occuthon in support of Occupy Wall Street. And currently on duty holding down the fort at the Occuthon is, if we have it right, Jacob Dean, who hosts Filter Free Radio on the Radio or Not Network. He also is the producer. Jake, are you the producer or the associate producer for Tom?
Associate producer.
Associate producer for the Tom Hartman program, heard on fine progressive radio stations across these United States, including even Green 960 up in San Francisco. Hey, Jacob, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Oh, it's an honor and a privilege to be on with you, Brad, and hello to all Mike listeners out there. I've been a big fan of Mike Malloy for a really long time. I'm familiar with the IE America radio days, the Air America radio days, but
old school.
I won't get too far into that, Brad.
Old school days, yeah, that's right. And I think Tom and Mike were both on that old network back then.
Yes.
How's the Occuthon going, and how many more hours do you have left, and where can people find it, of course, once we finish here at the end of this hour when the Mike Malloy Show shuts down for the night?
Thank you so much again, Brad, for having us on. The website, all the information is at Occuthon.com, just like it sounds, Occuthon.com, Occuthon.com. It's going great, Brad. We've got calls from coast to coast. I just got off the phone with a couple from Kentucky, down at Occupy Kentucky. We're doing a 24-hour broadcast here to support local Occupy camps around the country. We're directing people also to the website, OccupyTogether.org. You can find local camps, or even create your own camp, and start that with friends. And it's going fantastic. We've got lots of calls. We've got lots of folks and amazing guests coming up. I'm speechless at how well this has all come together with everybody's hard work. It's fantastic.
Well, that's only because you're a few hours into it. It's going to start falling apart. It's going to be a disaster. Jerry Lewis is going to want to come on and sing a song.
You're right. This is only hour five of the 24-hour broadcast, so we've got 21 and a half to go.
And now I hear actually that I am scheduled to appear in the middle of the frickin' night because I so love you guys. I think 2 a.m. My time, Pacific time, and 5 a.m. On the East Coast. Is that when I'm...
Absolutely, Brad. You're going to be live on with our good friend and producer, Shano, who put together the website, Accuthon.
And that website where you can tune into the show is Accuthon.com, correct?
Yes, Occupy Marathon, Accuthon. We just rolled with it.
And now people, Progressive Radio listeners, of course, will know Shano from the Stephanie Miller Show, because Shano puts together all of the crazy audio montages, and we're actually broadcasting here, or broadcasting, as we like to say, from Stephanie Miller Studio out at K-Talk AM 1150 out in Los Angeles. So see how incestuous this all is, Jake?
Love Steph, and we actually had Steph on Hartman's program today for a couple of minutes to plug the new number one comedy album in the country.
Yes, the Sexy Liberal, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal is the number one comedy album, and it was something like 50 or less in the top 50 over at iTunes. Okay, Jacob, I got to get to a break. You know how this thing works, but let me come by and say hello after I get to this break. And let me let folks know that we're going to go to your calls. I'm not even going to give out the number so we don't confuse people. But there's a lot of people on the line. I'll give you the number in a second. We're going to go to your calls. I'm going to thank Jacob Dean. Thank you, brother. I'm going to talk to you in a second, and we're going to send people to Accuthon.com.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go.
Well, they gave me we got about 24 minutes to go here to the end of the hour. To the end of the show, I'd say to the end of the weekend, but apparently I'm on Accuthon duty at 2 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. out there on the East Coast. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy for a few more minutes. Would love to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. Anything we talked about tonight, anything we didn't talk about, anything you'd like to talk about, now's the time to get in. We don't have a lot of time left, so get on in here, 877-520-1150. I will be back with you next Friday night, and then the following Thursday and Friday night, as the Malloys are enjoying some well-deserved holiday time off. And so I'll be in here for that, and like I say, tonight at 2 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Eastern time, I'll be on the, if I'm still awake, I'll be on the Accuthon in support of Occupy Wall Street. Check them out after the show at Accuthon.com or radio or not.com. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. Very quickly here, finally, some justice for BP from the oil spill. This today from AP, BP gets $250 million in a settlement with the maker of the blowout preventer that failed to halt Gulf oil spill. So, justice for BP means they get $250 million. That's a quarter of a billion dollars BP gets because of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Which, by the way, Barack Obama has just approved, again, licenses for BP to drill in the Gulf once again. Also this, some perhaps better news. Republican Ohio Supreme Court Justice says the death penalty, quote, makes no sense. Well, there you go. Some good news. Finally, Ohio lawmakers are considering a bill that would abolish the death penalty in the state. Longtime opponent to the practice, Ohio Supreme Court Justice Paul Pfeiffer, a Republican, went before the House Criminal Justice Committee to lambaste the death penalty as a, quote, death lottery. Quote, I have concluded that the death sentence makes no sense when you have life without possibility of parole. I don't see what society gains, he said. Having spent 17 years on the court, Pfeiffer hoped to instill a sense of urgency in the lawmakers, saying, if you are going to consider this, if you aren't going to consider this, who will? If not now, when? If not you, who? Well, thank you for that, Ohio Supreme Court Justice, Republican Paul Pfeiffer. I appreciate that because I'm one of those people who is against big government tyranny and big government, you know, killing citizens of this country. Also, Rick in Canada, in regards to the photo ID restrictions that are being placed on Democrats when they go to vote next year, notes that students should get gun permits down, at least down in Texas, because down in Texas you don't need a driver's license. A gun permit will do. So Rick is suggesting that in the bradblog.com chat room that folks go to get a concealed carry permit down in Texas, and that it will make the Republicans crazy. You think? Let's go to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Oh,
there we go. Hey, Kevin.
Do you think we're in a time warp or Wonderland or what? I mean, you talk about justice for BP, but
mm-hmm.
those people suing BP haven't got any justice yet.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama is fixing to sign this NDAA legislation.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have caved on just about everything.
Yep.
And there's other too numerous to mention things that you have on your website. I just can't believe we're in these times.
Kevin, and I wish we were in Wonderland. As it turns out, we're in the United States of America.
Yep.
And I can't I can't believe what's going on here either.
No, and I came to a conclusion today. In regards to the election and the presidential election, I'm just about to the point, if I haven't passed it already, morally, I just cannot vote for this president. He's betrayed us too many times. And how much evidence do you need that he is not the supposed progressive candidate we elected 4 years ago?
What made you think he was so progressive when you elected him 4 years ago, Kevin?
Well, you listen to his speeches during the campaign. He's a great orator.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he made a very populist speech last week. But those speeches have not been followed by any action.
Well, that's not entirely true. They have been followed by, quite a bit of action in certain places.
Right.
He has got the war in Iraq is ostensibly over, at least all the troops are out as of today. In Iraq, he did say that he was going to expand the war in Afghanistan, and he did do that. And I think a lot of people thought he was much more progressive than he was. But if you paid attention to what he said before the election, he said he was going to expand the war in Afghanistan. He voted to against. Let's see. No, he voted in favor of giving immunity to the telecom companies after they were in cahoots with the Bush administration to spy on U.S. citizens illegally in violation of the Constitution. So a lot of these things we knew in advance, Kevin.
Yeah, we did, but we didn't really have a choice in candidates, and that's what I fear is going to happen in this election. And I've come to the side of Mike Malloy and others who are now saying focus on the congressional and Senate races because this president really is not with us, and I have just come to the conclusion that, you know what, they're right. We can definitely make a difference in the congressional and Senate races and make much more of an impact there than by keeping this president in office. And I don't want a Republican in office, but we've kind of got one now, so what's the difference?
Thanks, Kevin. I do appreciate your call, my friend, and I hear you. I really do. Let's go to Al up in Oakland. Hey, Al, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad. I've been on a number of Occupy things. It's a move-on things, and I'm from the 60s and did a lot of stuff then with War Resisters League and stuff, although mm-hmm. not entirely a pacifist. But mm-hmm. anyway, I know the move-on things, if I start chanting, prosecute Wall Street, make them pay, you know, or anything of that type,
right.
Man, they shrink like, oh, whoa, whoa, we can't even think of that, and somebody might be telling me, oh, it's not real, and I'm aware of Simon Johnson's position.
Well, hey,
former head of the IMF, where he says, well, we should break up the banks, but we can't really put the Wall Street guys in jail because their lawyers succeeded in insulating them for prosecution. And I understand from some people that RICO was written in such a way that you couldn't get the financial guys. So I know RICO is available for me to look at.
Well,
now, what about the other stuff that their lawyers drew up to insulate them from prosecution? Is that available as far as you know?
Well, you know what? I'm not an attorney, so I can't speak to these things specifically,
right,
other
right.
than to say that Martha Coakley brought a lawsuit against a whole bunch of big banks last week.
Right.
A state case in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yeah, right.
And unfortunately, it's a civil case, not a criminal case.
Oh, yeah, well.
No, I don't think they're exempt from these things. I think if you have an aggressive prosecutor, these people can absolutely be prosecuted for fraud.
William Black tried to get in touch with Obama's new boy in Fresno, the new U.S. attorney there, and according to William Black, the boy in Fresno just blew him off.
Yeah, well,
William Black is pretty well suited to find a way to prosecute these things.
Well, there's a lot of people. Bo Biden up in Delaware,
right.
Eric Schneiderman up in New York. They're talking about bringing some accountability.
Yes,
why the DOJ themselves isn't doing it, why it's falling to state AGs, I couldn't tell you. Al, I got to run. Stay safe up there in Oakland.
Thanks,
Brad. And by the way, get that interim chief of police, Howard Jordan, the hell out of the job because he out and out lied about using tear gas and chemical agents on peaceful demonstrators up there on October 25th.
Well, I'll do what I can. All I'm not saying I have that much.
Get him out.
I'll do my little bit. All right, Brad.
Get him out. He's a liar. And frankly, so are those folks down here in L.A. where the LAPD held peaceful L.A. occupiers for hours. Handcuffed without rights, had no Miranda rights read to them. They were held for 3 nights. A lot of people said, including Brad Blog, said, oh, the LAPD was very peaceful. They did a nice job rounding folks up. Well, on one measure, they did. They didn't use tear gas. They didn't use pepper spray. They did use rubber bullets. And they did hold detainees for 8 hours in a bus, shackled, did not allow them food, water, medicine, rights, forced them to urinate on themselves in the bus. Would not let them use the bathroom. These are women, by the way, who this happened to. Men were handcuffed and put onto cement in a parking garage and forced to kneel for 7 hours until they became so exhausted they passed out, vomited on themselves. That is what we used to call torture in these United States of America. Before we started making up lies and calling it, enhanced interrogation. And, of course, they weren't being interrogated. They were just being held without their rights. This is Occupy LA. These are the folks who were held for 3 nights, some of them, some even longer, on misdemeanor charges, held on $5,000 bail. Am I getting through to you Tea Partiers yet? To you Republicans, are you concerned about that? Are you concerned that you may be the next? Oh, how about that Barack Obama? Hey, Tea Partiers, Barack Obama is such a left-wing, crazy Muslim, he just may throw you in jail forever without a trial. You cool with that? You're not? Then why the hell aren't you people speaking up? Why the hell aren't you people saying anything? Why the hell aren't you people joining the occupations, joining the occupiers, and standing up for your rights in this country, for your constitution in this country? Why are you making excuses for the big government tyranny that is taking those rights away from you? More of your call straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. My thanks tonight, as always, to producer Desi Doyen, to engineer Tony Sorrentino here at KTalk AM 1150. Thank you, sir. My guests, I've had very few, Desi and Jacob Dean, who you should listen to after we're done tonight over at Occuthon.com, along with Shano, Danielle, Kenny Pick. I think Stephanie Miller is going to be stopping by there to say hello. Nicole Sandler, a bunch of folks. So check out Occuthon.com or RadioOrNot.com, where they will be fighting the good fight for the next 24 hours. And, in fact, I will be there in the middle of the night myself as guest at 2 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Eastern time. This would be Saturday, the early morning hours of Saturday. I'll also, by the way, over at bradblog.com, I'll try to come on and say hello real quick on the video chat after we finish up with this hour. So if you want to come by and say hello, I forgot to shave this week, so you could be frightened and horrified. Come on by. Also, as always, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting me with their great show, and they'll be back on Monday, and I will be back here behind this microphone. Same Brad time, same Brad channel, next Friday night, the night before Christmas, the night before Christmas Eve, and then the following Thursday and Friday before New Year's Eve. So thanks for having me. My thanks to you. And if you missed any of tonight's show, we'll have the archives up at bradblog.com late night tonight. But really, really, you should go to mikemalloy.com. and get the archives over there with a podcast subscription and support progressive radio. It is disappearing off your airwaves, and we need you folks to support progressives out there. All right, some real quick calls here before the top of the hour. 877-520-1150. Why am I giving out the number? We're out of time. You can try to get in. 877-520-1150. What?
No, don't try to get
okay.
in. I'm in here. I can't answer the phone.
All right, Desi's in here. She can't answer the phone. Hey, Joy from Santa Cruz. Hey, Joy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, Joy?
Hi, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and all that stuff.
And to you.
I just wanted to mention, and Desi is on the phone for a reason here, is that Russian scientists are discovering hundreds of plumes of methane gas, some 1,000 meters in diameter, that are bubbling to the surface in the Arctic Ocean. So the XL pipeline might only be a side note.
And so why do you environmental extremists, care whether there's plumes of methane coming up from the Arctic? What does it matter?
Well, methane gas is it's 20 times as harmful as carbon dioxide. It's an extremely volatile global warming gas, and it could actually cause a feedback loop on the planet. They've actually found some of these have grown to a mile in diameter that were originally just small torch-like structures.
Okay, Joy, let me see if I can get a confirm here from my Green News Report co-host, Desi Doyen. Desi?
Yeah, Desi's
yes.
here.
Desi, yes, yes.
You confirm
yes.
Joy's report?
I confirm that this is what's happening. There are some caveats to that. You can go on to, for example, one great place that has a good roundup of this is at the .earth blog at the New York Times, where he kind of explains, you know, that there are some things that don't make this as immediately a disaster as it might sound.
And is this
it's just one report, though. I was
right. It's
that.
Just one study. So, you know, we need to get more information, but it is quite ominous if it is true.
And is this happening because the Earth is warming, therefore
the permafrost is melting very
Arctic,
deeply.
Right.
That's where all this methane has been sequestered, right. And if it gets released, it's like it's not a good idea.
Oh,
and it's
you
also in the Arctic Ocean, it's coming up, not just the permafrost.
Basically,
but
wherever it's warming up.
Thanks, Joy. I appreciate the call. Have a happy holiday, or we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate
it. Doesn't get too hot.
Yeah, Well, it's nice and warm out here in L.A. tonight. All right, let's go to Tim in. Oh boy, Tim in Detroit. Do I have time for Tim? Hey, Tim, you disagree with me, and I just saw you come in. I want to give you plenty of time, but you don't have it. So what do you got?
Okay, well, I'll try to be as quick as I can. Okay, in 2004, regarding the detainee issue, the Bush administration tried to argue that they could hold the detainees indefinitely. They called them unlawful enemy combatants.
Right.
The court found that that was unconstitutional, and they said that they had to have trials. They had to have habeas also. Of course, this produced the Military Commissions Act, which is a piece of junk.
Right.
But the point is, I don't think the NDAA, as it's written now, rules out those types of trials, as bad as they are.
Right.
So Obama can't hold them indefinitely, at least, you know, if the NDAA and the court is to be believed.
Well, he can hold them indefinitely. He can eventually give them a military trial if he wants. The military trials don't work that fast. I mean, take a look at Bradley Manning, who finally saw the inside of a courtroom today or this week after 17 months being held in the WikiLeaks case. But, yeah, so I guess it depends on your definition of indefinitely.
Kind of a small threat, yeah.
It does. All right, I hear you, Tim. I appreciate that. And, yeah, it's not looking good out there. Do we have time for one more? All right, one more. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Todd in Reno, welcome to the Molloy Show. You got 10 seconds, Todd.
All right, well, essentially I just noticed that the Tea Party and the Occupy movement are essentially on the same side, just quibbling over details. I mean, it's essentially anti-government and anti-big corporation, and government essentially causes big corporations. So if everybody could just kind of stop quibbling, we might actually get somewhere.
Smartly said, Todd. Absolutely right. All right, guys, thanks. I appreciate everything tonight. We're going to be back with you next Friday. Right here on the Mike Molloy Show. Mike will be back on Monday and late night tonight. Me on at Occuthon.com at 2 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah? All right, and then stop by bradblog.com right now and say hello to me on the video chat. Good night, America. Keep it lit.